Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned.
All right, praise the Lord. Welcome tonight to the broadcast. If you're here for the first time, it's an honor to bring to you from heavenlywarriors.com in Austin, Texas, Pastor Rick Bell. Pastor Rick, welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you. It is so very good to be back. I always hear from the listeners when you're not around for a while, they really start missing you. You know, you've got quite an affectionate fan club out there, Brother Shannon.
Well, I tell you, it's one big happy internet family. It's an honor to be back and to be able to do these programs, and I am glad to be back and glad to have you back on, my brother.
Yeah, I miss it. When I miss a week, you know, we had the holiday July 4th last week, and I start getting kind of antsy, man. I want to get back to my training with my spiritual warriors out there. And as you said, we're just a TCBing. And for those of you who don't know what TCBing means, it was a saying that well, it's become famous by several people, but Elvis Presley used to say TCB, that meant taking care of business. I think there was actually a song in the 70s called Taking Care of Business. So it kind of became a catchphrase. So I guess if you ask Shannon what he's been doing, he's taking care of business, TCBing. Because sometimes you have to get your batteries recharged, don't you, brother?
You sure do, and then you got to get back in the ring again, amen?
You do. You do have to get back in the ring, and that is, interestingly enough, what we're going to speak about tonight is the need to sometimes get back in the ring when you've gotten knocked out of the ring. Because, Brother Shannon, here's the deal, man. You know, I just shoot straight. I don't try to sugarcoat anything or try to kick in all of my theological training, because I don't have any. I just tell it like it is, based on the truth that I've lived and that I see in front of my eyes every day. But the truth is, man, all hell is breaking loose toward God's people. Now, you know this because you travel in the same circles that I do with these ministers and these ministries that are on the air and doing things. You know, there's a network of us really around the world, but certainly around the United States, and we all are in contact, you know, such as the Pine Ridge Warriors and Dr. Erica Shepherd and others. And if you speak to those men and women of God, they're all saying the same thing, and that is they've never seen attacks like they are experiencing now. I don't know if you've seen an increase in attacks against you personally, Shannon, but everyone that I know is living through that, including myself. How about you? Have you seen that?
Absolutely. You know, I've been talking to people and hearing the same thing. I talked to two or three people in the last week and undergoing heavy attacks. One was in the hospital. So, as I said to one gentleman, you know what? The enemy has launched a barrage of multiple warheads at you.
And that's exactly right. And let me break it down into understandable lingo here. You know, when the thing that we've been fighting with Iran about and in these talks, this nuclear weapons treaty that we've been trying to get worked out now for I don't know how long, but a long time. What is that all about? Well, it's about stopping our enemies from having enough enriched uranium to build a nuclear bomb. Now, it takes a while to build up the enriched uranium. You don't do it in a week. It takes a long time. If you could do it in a week, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation, because America would probably be radioactive from our enemies who were able to acquire that. But it takes time to build the bomb. But when it's built, God help us. It's the same thing with demonic warfare. The title of my message tonight is we have a new level of demonic opponent. There is a new level of demonic opposition that we have never faced before. And it's like that nuclear bomb analogy where they've been working on the enriched uranium and storing it up and working the demonic forces. Then when they have enough, they get the bomb together and they get it assembled. And then that's all she wrote. Another analogy that ties in with the Holy Ghost boxing gym is when you begin in the gym, when you first start in your profession as a professional fighter, you start out in easy, as I've spoken before, 4-round fights, 6-round fights, just beginner fights. When you are an amateur boxer, those rounds, those are always 3-round fights. You notice if you watch the Olympics or you know, any of the stuff that comes on ESPN of the Olympic boxers, they're always fighting 3 rounds. When they turn pro, they go to 4 rounds and they work up to 6, and I've told you this before, then to 8, then to 10 for a United States title, and then 12 for a world title. So at each level, Shannon, as the rounds increase, the skill level of the opponents you face increases also. So you start out in 4-round fights, and the guys aren't that good. They're learning. They're kind of new, and they're like you, haven't probably been at it that long. Because when you have a certain number of fights, then you're moved up into the next category. And when you move up, the next opponents you face are tougher guys. They're more skilled. And you work through the ranks of that all the way up until you are at that title level, that world title level, and that is the 12-round level. And of course, you're facing the most skilled, best trained, and most talented fighters on the planet. In spiritual warfare, the level of our opponent increased significantly since the first of the year. You've seen the enemies building that enriched uranium in the spirit world, working on those bombs. Little by little, we give up ground. We give a little ground, the enemies pick up a little ground. Well, all the time that that's happening, as I've taught before, and by the way, as I'm teaching these series on Omega Man Radio, I appreciate everyone who contacts me, and I have quite a few people that reach out and tell me that this teaching is helping them. They are relating to it, and it's opening up some doors for them and closing some others. So I really appreciate everyone who responds to that and who is being blessed by this radio show. So as you're increasing, the skill level of your opponents has gone up. It's gone up dramatically, and for you to be able to survive and not be knocked out, you are going to have to be more serious about your training than ever before. And here's an example. Usually you have 3 months to 6 months to prepare for an upcoming bout with an opponent. In other words, the opponent's management will contact your manager and say, we want to schedule a fight, 8, 10, 12 rounds, whatever, with your fighter. And this is the date it's going to be. And everyone always has 90 days to, you know, to 6 months to train, usually. But sometimes you will get a call and you will be a stand-in fighter for someone who was injured in training maybe 2 weeks before the fight's coming. Sometimes fighters hurt their hands. That happens quite a bit. Just injuries happen in training, and they're not able to pass the physical. You see, you have to pass a physical the day of or the day before a fight in order to get in the ring. The doctor has to sign off on you and say that you are healthy enough to get in there and let somebody beat your brains out. Go figure. So if there's an injury that occurs, they have to have a stand-in, a fill-in fighter. And you have to be in good enough shape when that call comes to be able to stand in and jump in that ring in short notice. Well, that's where we are right now as spiritual warriors. We're on that call list. At any day, any time, you're going to get called into action and you are going to be in a battle. You're going to face things that you thought you'd dealt with that were long gone. But the reality is, some of those things you think you thought you'd dealt with, they just nested deeper in you and they've been waiting for the reinforcements to arrive. They've been waiting for the demonic power to increase as it has in the land. So, why is there such an increase? Why are the demons getting stronger? Well, I think anyone who knows anything about Bible prophecy would tell you we're more than likely at the end times. We're at the end of this thing. And during the end, there's going to be an unleashing of demonic forces because we, the Christians, the so-called Christians, have embraced a lackadaisical, lazy lifestyle. And we've allowed sin to get into our life and set up residence and live there. And that sin opens the door for these demonic forces that we thought we'd dealt with a long time ago to begin to attack and buffet us as never before. I've given the analogy before. As you know, I'm a professional boxer, fighter, retired from that. But if you are actively in your fighting career, you have to stay in shape. You can't live on Krispy Kreme donuts and chocolate milk. Although it tastes good, you have to live a very strict diet lifestyle. You have to work out. And anyone who was around during my gym days, they can tell you, I worked out like an animal, like a maniac. Why? Because you have to. You have to, or you're just living in a fantasy world. You're deluding yourself. You're living in denial, as I call it. The church world is in the big D. They're in denial. You see, I owned my own gym, and I could have taken my training easy, Shannon. I could have brought in the easiest sparring partners, and I could have just, you know, beat them up basically every day and feel like I was on top of the world, feel like, man, I'm the champ. Nobody can beat me. But you see, I would have been lying to myself. So instead, I brought in tough guys, tough fighters, guys that could work me out and bang on me sometimes and remind me that I'm going to face someone who wants to hurt me in the ring. So it's very important that you set yourself up to be challenged and grow in your faith and realize, and this is the point I want to make tonight, you are going to be knocked down sometimes. You're going to have a bad day. You're going to have some bad weeks. And some of you are going to have several weeks strung together sometimes that are just going to be rough. And they just tend to come out of nowhere. You'll be really doing well, moving right along, and then all of a sudden, I don't know, you just wake up one day and you kind of feel melancholy, a little bit blue. And that feeling, you can't seem to shake it. Now, personally, I'm a pretty happy guy. I've never really been prone to mood swings or, you know, depression and things like that. Anyone who knows me, has been around me any length of time, will tell you I'm pretty much the same all the time. I'm just happy to be here. That was my, after I went through my absolute destruction of life as I knew it, from my corporate six-figure income, you know, down to nothing. My new phrase is, I'm just happy to be here. Someone say, how you doing, Rick? I'm just happy to be here, brother, and I mean it. So I'm generally a happy person. So I know that I've been doing this spiritual warfare long enough to recognize when the enemy is mounting an attack. I can tell you every time when it's coming, because it's the same type of attack. And when it hits you, you do everything that you can to fight it back, to beat it back. But I'm telling you, it's getting stronger. And you can talk to any of these ministers, and they're telling you the same thing. The people that are in the spiritual warfare are feeling the effects of these demons that are getting stronger. I told you a couple of weeks ago with the Supreme Court decisions that have come down, it has strengthened the dark realm, the demonic realm. Because anything that is contrary to what the Bible says, clearly teaches, that contrary thing is sin. So when a nation of people openly embrace something that the Bible clearly says is sin, there's a cause and effect. There's a price to pay. I used the example of, imagine if the entire nation, all of America, decided they wanted to repent and get on their knees and began to pray and cry out to God to heal the land. Just like the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then he would hear us. So the opposite of that is when we go in the other direction and we basically thumb our nose at what God's told us not to do, we do it anyway. You know, it's nothing personal. I've told you many times, I don't care what people do in their bedroom. I don't care who they're with. You know, as long as it's, you know, not a child or something. I don't personally have any axe to grind in that. However, we have this rule book to go by. I didn't make the rule book. I just have to live by it. I just have to tell people what's in the rule book, because I'm going to be held accountable if I don't tell you. I don't have an option in the thing. I wished I did. It's easier just to keep my mouth shut. Life goes a lot smoother, doesn't it, Shannon, when you don't rise up and rebuke these things? It's not an easy road to hoe. But you got to tell the truth. But the recourse of that is when sin is openly practiced and embraced in the land, it emboldens the demonic realm. Just like if every Christian would get on their knees and begin to pray, or every person in America, there would be a moving, sweeping revival across America, which would catch on to the world, because that's how it works. So, on the other hand, if everyone embraces and openly says, it's okay, we don't care what that Bible says, that thing's outdated anyway, we're going to do our own thing, that also empowers the spirit world. Just like the prayer and fasting of God's people empowers the spirit world, the disobedience, the open disobedience, empowers the demonic. And you're going to see things increase. I had when I was a kid, I would sleepwalk. I would talk in my sleep, and I mean, I would get out of bed and walk down the street and wake up sometimes and not know how I got there. This was an ongoing thing with me. Now, you know, it was kind of a joke in my family that I was just, quote unquote, a sleepwalker. I just talked in my sleep. I would have something called night terrors, meaning I'd have these nightmares, and I would physically, well, here's how bad it is. One time I was probably 20 years old, I guess. I was a black belt in karate, whoop-de-doo. I had I had a night terror that someone was breaking into my room. That was a normal night terror for me. Someone coming in, breaking in, intruding. So I jumped out of bed in my sleep and did, I don't know if you know what a karate round kick is, but it's when you take your back leg and you kick about head high, swing it around and kick. Well, there wasn't anyone there. All was that was there was a wall. So I hit the wall.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-oh. I broke my toes. Think I cracked my foot, but I didn't want to go to the doctor, and, you know, I was already embarrassed enough. Because I'm in karate class, I'm limping in there, and they're asking me, what happened? Well, dude, I'm not going to tell them I had a nightmare and I kicked the wall. So I made some story up. I was sparring a guy, and he put his elbow down. You know, that happens all the time in sparring. They block with their elbow, and you hit with the top of your foot. But I had these night terrors. In that same house. Now I know these things. I didn't know anything then. I was living in this old house with a roommate of mine who was another musician, and that's what we did. We played music full time, and this house was probably 100 years old. No air conditioning, but we didn't care. We lived like the Eagles, if you remember the rock band The Eagles. We just lived the same thing. Had a big house, and everybody lived in it. And this house was an old house that was up. You know, they all have front porches on these old houses, Shannon. They are, in other words, the porch may be 4 or 5 feet high. It's pretty high. You walk up steps to getting these houses built at the turn of the century. This is a wooden frame, two-story house. My bedroom was on the first floor. So one night I had a night terror, and I slept in the summertime with the window open because there was no air conditioning. So I had a little box fan, and the window was open. Well, for some reason in my night terror, I jumped out the window.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm out the window, and it's 3 or 4 in the morning. Now, I don't sleep fully clothed. I'm standing outside in my underwear, my little skivvies, and I can't get back in because the window is like 8 feet off the ground, right? So I'm literally out there, and I wake up, I come to, and I'm disoriented because I've had a night terror, jumped out the window, and the first thought you always have is, what am I doing here? How did this happen? So I had to hide in the bushes as the sun came up. So the neighbors wouldn't see me. I literally hid behind the bushes like Adam and Eve, you know, trying to cover myself up in my underwear. Because my roommate, newsflash, he didn't even wake up till 1 or 2 in the afternoon. you know how that goes. So it wouldn't do any good to bang on the door. My roommate's not going to hear it because of, you know, various substances that are, shall we say, clouding his judgment from the night before. So I have to hide in the bushes until he finally comes to and walks out the door, and then I get back in. So I've had these night terrors my entire life. When I was 14 years old, I had my first girlfriend, and I was just crazy about this girl. And we would talk on the phone all the time. You know, we didn't have cell phones in those days. We had those little slimline phones that, you know, it looked like a little, I don't know what it looks like, a loaf of bread, a little small thing. So I had one of those in my bedroom. Dad and Mom gave me a phone, gave my sister a phone when we were like 13 or 14, so we wouldn't be on the family phone all the time. So I'm in there talking to my girlfriend at night, usually before I go to bed. And one night I was talking a little bit late, and my dad got upset. You know, if it's past 9:30 or so or 10, he's get off of that phone, boy. And when Dad said it, he meant it. I understood that. So I got off the phone. Well, a little bit later that night, Shannon, I started talking in my sleep. My dad thinks I'm on the phone to my girlfriend. So I'm sound asleep in my bed talking. My dad comes in the room, grabs that phone, rips it out of the wall. The wires all, you know, come down out of the sheetrock. And I'm like, what happened? What? Because I was totally innocent but talking in my sleep. Now I realize all of those things, those had a demonic root from some trauma that had happened at some point in my life. Now, for those of you who've heard my life story, there are a lot of trauma points that could have pointed to that, no pun intended. I was given up for adoption. I was conceived out of wedlock, given up at birth for adoption. Never met my mother or father, you know, until I was much older. The parents who adopted me were good people, but they were alcoholics, and I had no supervision growing up. I just kind of did my own thing, so I have no doubt that I had demonic infestation as a child, and it followed me on into my life. Now, as an adult, when I began to get deliverance, and this has been 6 or 7 years ago now, when I finally realized that there is such a thing as demons, and they do get into your life, even if you are a spirit-filled, born-again Christian, which I was, had been since 1980, I had demonic issues, and I had to get deliverance. So many of you understand the same things I'm talking about. But these things that had been dormant for a long time, they just, in the last few weeks, I started having some night terrors. Now, that's the warning flag. Warning, warning, warning. My wife and I don't have night terrors anymore. I mean, I haven't. And if I, let me just tell you this way. If you're sleeping in the bed with a black belt in karate and he's having night terrors, that's not a good safe place to be. So we couldn't even sleep in the same bed if I was still having these night terrors, and I don't have them anymore. We went on vacation, it's been 2 or 3, 4 years ago now. I travel all around, and you know, I perform at different, I play guitar and sing and do a lot of these festivals around the South, around the state of Texas. I'm at the State Fair of Texas and perform. And we were in some town on the coast, and we stopped in. And when I checked in this hotel, I noticed, Shannon, there was a strange odor when I went to check in, and it was just Indian food. You know, it was the Indian people from India owned the hotel, and they were cooking the food. I thought, strange smell. No problem. But on the wall was this calendar with the Hindu gods in it, on it. It's just covered. You know, the whole place had these Hindu gods. Didn't think much more about it. We went and checked in. Got, you know, went to sleep. Nice room. Cool air conditioning. Got up the next morning. I'd had the most violent, vicious dreams. I dreamed about my dad, who's deceased. Before I could say anything, my wife said, you know, I had the most violent dream last night about my dad. So long story short, we stayed there 4 or 5 days, whatever the deal was. And every night we had these same horrific nightmares, these dreams. And it was coming from those spirits that inhabited that place. Now, many of you listening to what I'm saying, you're experiencing something like this. Especially some of you who live in apartments. Because there's nothing really separating you spiritually from the person living through the sheetrock wall right next to you or above you or below you. So some of you are fighting these demonic forces constantly. You know, you just get these feelings of like, man, I'm just feeling kind of depressed. And things will come at you that have not come at you in years. Thoughts will start to come in your mind of traumas that happened to you. That's how these demons work. You know, the Bible talks about when the demon is cast out, he comes back. If he finds a place available that he came out of, he's going to bring 7 of his buddies. So they will come back and try to get back in. Especially when there's power being turned loose and released in the country where we live. So demonic power is on the increase. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to have to pray like never before, but you're also going to have to face the areas in your life where you've been traumatized, hurt, rejected, thrown away, lied to, betrayed, stolen from, fill in the blank. Because those things that have happened to you, and they've happened to all of us, those things open the doors for these demons to get into you. And when the demons get in, they don't go. They stay. I did an exercise a while back about the broken heart, reconstructing the broken heart. And you can go onto my website at heavenlywarriors.com under the downloads tab. And there's a download for the broken heart exercise. And I highly encourage you to do that. The first step in getting free is to begin to realize where you are in bondage. You can't get free if you do not realize where you're in bondage. So that's the first thing to do. When you do the heart exercise, a brief explanation, it's a heart with several sections in it. And in the sections, you write things that happened to you in life, things that hurt you. You know those things that hurt you. If I were to sit down in a room with each one of you and ask you, tell me what was the biggest hurt in your life? You would first say, well, I don't know. I have to think about it. And then within a few seconds, you'd say, well, it must have been when my dad and mom divorced. Or it must have been when my little brother was in that accident. Or whatever it is. And then when you come up with that first thing, it's like the gates start to open and you start to think of other things. So what you do is you take each one of those hurts and you're going to, as we spoke before, your heart becomes broken when something happens to it, when you're traumatized. You're going to put all the pieces of that broken heart back together, because until you understand how this happened, it's going to keep happening. You have to understand where you are vulnerable to the demonic attack. In my life, I'm always honest. In my teachings with you, I tell you the truth. This is how it was for me. For me, one of the demonic strongholds in my life was a people-pleasing spirit, a need to please people. Because of several reasons, if you look at that little heart exercise, the first one was I was rejected at birth. I was given up for adoption, and there's a spirit of rejection that comes with that. And it's a strong man. It's tough. So when you're rejected, you want to think, well, what was wrong with me? Why did they reject me? I must try harder so I won't be rejected again. So that was my first thing, and a strong man that really dictated my life and drove me to do things and make decisions that were certainly not in my best interest. They were in my worst interest. But I was controlled. I was captured by those things. And as I said earlier, once I was born again and spirit-filled, well, they went down. They didn't go out. They went down for a period of time. But then they slowly started to creep back up and come back up. So for me, it was that need to get approval, to please people at my own expense. And I found myself driven to be an overachiever in life, to be a perfectionist. Because if some of you who were raised by alcoholic parents, you really can never get the approval you need from a parent who is intoxicated as a norm. In other words, that's their normal state. You can't get the approval you need. So you grow up with these demons that make you seek approval all the time, seeking man's approval, not God's approval. You want to get that man approval. It's a terrible trap to be in. But that's a reality. And that's something that I've struggled with. So you guys listening to this, you know there are things. Listen, I get the emails, I get the text messages, the calls every week. Every week. And I'm talking, these are mature Christian people contacting me. Most of them are. They know their way around. But they are under an absolute assault and attack. One of the main things that they are struggling with is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because as we move forward, there's going to be no substitute for that Holy Spirit. You're going to have some power. You're not going to be able to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof that it talks about in Timothy. That's not going to cut it for you. If you're in a church now that is not moving and teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, you need to get somewhere where they are moving and teaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry if that's your home church and you were raised there, or your mom and daddy went there, or they have a really great praise team, or they have a great kids program there. If they are not moving and teaching and empowering with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yep, there it is. I said it. Speaking in tongues, speaking in another language that you don't know. They're not going to be able to prepare you for what's coming because you're not going to have the power to beat back these forces as they invade your reality. Now, in my case, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit as an atheist. I was a 21-year-old atheist, proud of it, karate instructor, black belt, musician, happy-go-lucky, had the life I wanted, wasn't worried about a thing. But these Christians came in and told me about Jesus and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard of it. I'd never heard anyone speak in tongues. Never heard of speaking in tongues. But somehow, as an atheist, I sat at my desk and they asked me if I wanted to receive Jesus Christ after they had told me about this, about an hour and a half of witnessing on their part. And I listened. I started out as a mocker and a scoffer and laughing, but something happened. In my spirit, I was sincere. You know why? Because I had no pre-framing. I had not been pre-framed to doubt the Holy Spirit. I didn't know anything about it. I'd never heard of it, much less heard anyone pray in tongues. I couldn't have told you the name of a television evangelist, or I think I may have heard of a guy named Billy Graham, just because my dad would have a fit when Billy Graham came on the television. Now, I don't know why. But my dad would sit there in his chair, you know, drunk, as he would be every night. And I loved my dad. My dad was a good guy. I loved him, but he had a drinking problem. Now, he got saved before he died, thank the Lord. But he would sit there, and if the Billy Graham Crusades would come on, as they would do in those days, once or twice a year, CBS or NBC, you only had three channels in those days, would carry the Billy Graham Crusade. My dad would sit there and he would get livid. He would get so angry because this man was on television preaching. And somehow my dad had the notion that you should never be on television preaching. That's sacrilegious. Now, I don't know where that came from, but it's part of that religious spirit. He said preaching belongs in a church and not on television. He would get furious at Billy Graham. Billy Graham preaching. So that's about the only experience I'd ever had. I wasn't looking for anything. I wasn't looking for God, but these people laid hands on me and I began to speak in a different language. They didn't tell me, now, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to need to just kind of relax and let that language come out. No, they didn't say anything. They just laid their hands on me and it came on me. So I teach those who are trying to get the Holy Spirit. God is no respecter of persons, and whatever he did for me as an atheist, he'll do for you. But I didn't have any preconceived notions. And that's a blocking, that's a hindrance to some of you receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is somewhere along the line, you heard someone teach against it or speak against it or say something about it being kooky, holy rollers, Jesus freaks, weirdos, whatever. And that could have happened when you were young. Let me tell you, you could have been a little 6 or 7 year old and your parents could have been speaking with their neighbors or their friends and started talking about something in the Holy Ghost and how crazy and kooky that was. And you may have heard that and don't even remember it, but it opened the door for that spirit of doubt. And look, I know what I'm talking about because I deal with this all the time. All the time, these blocking spirits keeping people from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's a process that you need to go through. You need to think your way through some of the things that may be keeping you from getting the Holy Spirit. Because I, you know, if I were there to lay hands on you and do it, that'd be great. But it's, you know, there's a lot of distance between us. And the reality is, you're probably going to be on your own before long anyway. I don't know how much longer all the ability to broadcast like this, Satan's going to let that go on. I don't know how much longer. That's why you are going to have to get ready and get in shape to carry on these things. Just like this, it says in 2 Timothy 2:1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You're going to teach others. You have to do that. That's your calling. 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. That's 2 Timothy 2:1-5. So what I'm saying to you is, you are going to have to get yourself in shape. I recommend, of course, reading the Bible. Reading books on spiritual warfare, deliverance. Pastor John Gogan has a bookstore that is the most complete Christian bookstore in America online. And go to Pastor Gogan. I think it's Agape Bible Fellowship. Is that right, Shannon? Do you know offhand?
Yep. It is agapebible.org.
Agapebible.org. I certainly encourage you to go there. In fact, pick the phone up and call him or his lovely wife, who is his secretary, and just speak with him. He'll make time for you and give you some suggestions as to a couple of books to get. You're going to have to saturate your mind with that. The other thing you're going to have to do, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, these broadcasts, you need to download some of them. You don't have to do all of them. Pick the ones that minister to you and speak to you and you feel something from them. Click the download button. Can you do that on MixLR or SoundCloud? Where can they download this from, Shannon?
What they can do is a couple options. You can go right into iTunes, go to the Apple Store, subscribe to the free podcast there. You can also go into SoundCloud or Blog Talk Radio and download the MP3s that way as well.
Yeah, and it's important that you do this download. I really feel strongly in my spirit about this. You are going to need to have a library. Again, you can't download everything. It's, you know, maybe too much for you. But get the ones that speak to you. The Holy Spirit will lead you to podcasts, and you'll hear them, and it'll be for you. It's designated for you. And he'll send you to those. I encourage you to get something called an external hard drive. That is, you can buy them for $39, $49, $59, you know, as big as you want to get. A terabyte You can go to Walmart and ask them for an external hard drive. Go to Best Buy, wherever they sell them, which is everywhere. It literally plugs into your computer through a USB port. That's that little skinny thing on the side. It's called a USB. You plug this external hard drive. It looks like a box. You plug it in, and your computer sees it as another computer, basically. And then all you do is whatever you want to save from your computer, you drag it over to that hard drive. That little hard drive will pop up on your screen, and you drag your files. I encourage you to start a folder. If you don't know any of this stuff I'm talking about, folders and files, I guarantee you, you have someone who's a friend of yours or in your family who knows everything about files and folders and stuff on computer. If you don't have that, just ask, somebody you know, hey, can you help me do this? This is not hard. But I encourage you to start a folder, one folder on your computer, and put all of the podcasts, the episodes that you like in there. Build your library. Then all you have to do is drag that folder over to your external hard drive, and it is saved. Then you can unplug that external hard drive and take it with you wherever you go. And everywhere there is a computer, you can plug it in. The other thing I would say is, if you know how to burn CDs, pick some of your favorite podcasts that really speak to you and minister to you and burn them. You can burn them in iTunes. There are different ways to do it. I'm not going to try to explain it here. It's a little more complicated. But what I'm saying is build a library of resources that you are going to have. You're going to need this. I'm telling you now how to break through and get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take a breakthrough for you to do it. When you have your time during the day, during the evening, in the morning, I want you to start a routine of walking. You don't have to run. If you like to run, you can certainly run, but I want you to start walking. Go out and walk for 30 minutes and then increase to 45 minutes and then work it up to an hour. And while you're walking, I want you to have a little set of headphones. Again, in listening to your phone, you can hear these podcasts from your phone. You don't have a phone, you can get an iPod and put them on the iPod and listen. There are ways to do it. If you absolutely don't know what I'm talking about, don't have a clue, reach out to me and I will get you set up and hooked up and show you how to do it. Reach out to me at heavenlywarriors.com on the contact, right there on the front page. But I want you to start a routine, and that routine includes some physical exercise. You need to start getting your body into some better shape, getting your endurance up, your wind up. And again, you don't have to go out and run, but you need to walk. If you don't have any good walking shoes, go to the mall, go to Academy Sporting Goods, and buy a pair of ASICS running shoes. Those are the ones I like. You can try different ones, but get running shoes. Don't get CrossFit shoes or anything else. You want running shoes that are very soft, cushioned, so that it's not going to put any strain on your ankles and your joints. So ASICS are they're more expensive, but they are the best running shoes that I've found. That's what I personally like. And I've been running for a long time. And I'm not a good runner, but I want the soft shoes because I'm a big guy. Were you going to say something, Shannon?
I second that opinion on ASICS. Awesome. That's my favorite for many years. And continue on. This is good advice tonight.
Yeah, I've tried every kind of running shoe, literally all of them, and always come back to the ASICS again. They're a little more expensive, but they're going to last you a long time. You know, a brand new pair. If you're walking every day, you expect to get 6 months or longer out of them, maybe longer than that. But you want to have good, soft shoes to walk in. I want you to start walking with some headphones in so you can listen to some of these teachings. And if you can't find any teachings, you can buy the Bible in iTunes. It'll go right to your little iPod player, and you can get it in any version you want, and just listen to the Bible as you go, because God will begin to speak to you as you walk. Walking is like fasting. the reason fasting, God commands us to do fasting and prayers, because fasting decreases the flesh. In other words, our enemy is our flesh. Our flesh wants to be in charge. And if we do what our flesh wants to do, we'll weigh 600 pounds and never come off the couch, and that'll be that. So we can't follow what our flesh says. But fasting is a way to make this flesh submit. That's why it's so powerful. Exercise is another form of fasting. It makes the flesh submit. And for those of you who don't exercise or haven't exercised in a long time, you will be amazed at how good you will feel when you've just... Now, not the first day that you go. The first day you go, you'll want to, you know, find me and throw a rock through my window for telling you to do this. But that second day, that third day, by the fourth day, you'll be going, I feel better than I have in years, because your body was made for activity. Our lifestyle has completely abandoned activity. We live in a sedentary lifestyle more so than ever. You know, 100 years ago, people were more active than they are now. 50 years ago, they were. So now we're at the pinnacle of that inactivity. So as a spiritual warrior, you want to start getting some exercise. If you live in an area where you can't walk, if you're a female, and it's not safe, I understand that, go join a gym. You can join for $10 a month, and there is a gym just about on every block, you know, in most cities. I know, Shannon, you joined a gym a while back. It was like $10 or something, wasn't it?
$10 a month.
Yeah.
24-hour gym. You can't beat that.
No, you really get $10. I mean, you get a Big Mac and a Coke, it's $10, man. And you eat that a lot more than once a month. So just think about skipping one Big Mac and going to the gym. So this is important. If you can't walk in your neighborhood, go join a gym and get on the treadmill. You don't have to go crazy with the weights. I mean, you may want to do that once you start. An amazing thing happens when your heart rate starts to elevate and you start to breathe deep and your lungs start to expand. Your brain gets more oxygen. God speaks to me when I'm exercising. I think he'll do the same thing for you. Make sure you have a little a way to make mental notes. Honestly, that's the way I get all of my teachings. When I go out, I do 5 miles a day. That's what I do. And just what I do. And I'll run. Sometimes I'll run the whole 5 miles. Sometimes I'll run half of it and walk half of it. And it just depends on how I'm feeling that day. Don't make yourself, if you have any kind of pain at all, listen to your body and just walk. But don't just barely walk. You know, walk. Walk a brisk walk. But when you're out there, have the ability to retain some things God's going to speak to you, especially if you're listening to teachings. The Holy Spirit is going to speak things to you specifically about yourself and your situation through those teachings. So have the ability, whether you take a little notepad and a little pen that you can jot down stuff, or I can speak into my phone, literally. I have a little voice record thing, and most of you do if you have an iPhone or some smartphone. It's got a little record thing. You can push the button and just say what you're thinking. But it's those little tidbits that can change your life. The few little things that God can speak to you when you hear a teaching that can totally transform and turn around your situation. So that's what I encourage you to do. Start to read. Read that Bible. Pick a book and read that book. Don't jump around. Just pick a book in the Bible and start in that book. Start in the book of Acts. It's a very interesting book. I'm, in fact, getting ready to start Wednesday. A weekly Bible study in the prison system on the book of Acts, just the book of Acts, because the chaplain is a spirit-filled guy, and he wants me to come in there and teach the inmates about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow. So that's a good thing. And start to read the Bible and start to listen and archive these shows. The more you're listening to these shows and archiving and working around that sort of thing, the more benefit you're going to get out of all of this stuff. So I want you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but first you got to identify the blocking spirits. Get that heart exercise at my website, heavenlywarriors.com. Look, it's under the downloads. Download it, free thing. Do the little heart exercise. And that's where you start. Then when you recognize where your heart was broken, We get into the other things about casting out the doubt and the unbelief. I tell you, one of the strongest things blocking a lot of you from receiving the Holy Spirit is a fear of losing control. And you think, oh, that's not my situation. No, you'd be surprised. If you ever had a situation when you were a child that you felt out of control, there's a high probability that you have a need to seek control. If you've ever been in a relationship where you were rejected, when you were dumped, when the person you put your hopes and dreams in didn't turn out to be who you thought they were, and it blew up, train wreck, then that's a type of rejection that will cause you to have fear. Have you ever said, and you don't have to answer this because I know you have, if you've come through a bad relationship, and most of us have you ever looked in the mirror and said, oh, never again. Never again. I am so done. Some of you are laughing right now because you may have said that this morning. Well, when you do that, there's a type of closing, a closure that takes effect in your spirit. And you not only block the potential for, future hurt in your life, you can block the potential of opening up and trusting for the Holy Spirit to come in. See, it's all a trust and a surrender thing. Is that making sense to you? It's about trust. And when your trust is betrayed, it can be a block. And several of you I've ministered to, those are some of the blocks that we've had to work through, was being rejected, being in that relationship that went sour, and it caused you to say never again. And a part of you closes down, shuts down. Shannon, have you ever been hurt in a relationship and a part of you shut down?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nobody's immune from it.
Yeah. Fear of losing control. We're going to put that on the demon hit list. That's a good one right there.
That's it. That's at the top, man. That's at the top. We have this. Once we've been hurt, once we've been rejected, thrown away, thrown under the bus, as I like to say, we develop this fear of losing control. So we overcompensate. We have to be in control. And when it comes to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to totally surrender. Totally. Totally. None of you can be in the thing. Because if you're in it, you're going to block it from happening. I know what I'm talking about. It happened to me. I know. I know how it gets thwarted. Because God's not going to give something to me that he's not going to give to you. And it's real. It's real because I was an atheist, never heard of it. And a minute later, I'm speaking in a language for 45 minutes. And I was a different person, totally, totally transformed, new creature in Christ. So it's real. No one, see, the bad thing is no one can talk you out of something once it's happened to you. So all the religious people, they can't talk you out of it. Shannon, I told you I'm doing a Bible study in the prison system, and it's a big deal. I mean, it was a lot to get the curriculum approved by the state of Texas. They have to approve what you're going to teach and all that. So I put together a whole ministry, and it's called True Release Ministries. It's really a cool thing, you know. But as part of my study on the book of Acts, I wanted to go and look at some commentaries and find a good commentary to take some notes from. Shannon, I went to the Bible bookstore, actually is Lifeway, Christian bookstores here in my town. And I looked at 6, 7, 8, however many commentaries there that I could find. And these are on, these are big, thick, hardcover commentaries. And I looked at them and I went specifically to Acts chapter 2 to see what they said about the Holy Spirit. Because Shannon, listen to me, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. It is all about the Holy Spirit. Without it, you have a form of godliness, but no power. No power. None. You have a form of godliness, but deny the power. So I looked in all these commentaries, every one of them. Man, I was heartbroken. Every one of them. I mean, they look great. It, you know, the verbiage, the intelligent thought process of these men, these brilliant men writing these, and some of the older ones, you know, the Matthew Henry type commentaries, and then some of the new ones. I went the whole gamut. I couldn't find one that validated the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Here's what they would say when they got to that part. They all said this, and I'm paraphrasing, but they would say, and then the Bible tells us they began to speak with other languages. And then they would say, however, this is highly unlikely because, and then they would give some explanation why that couldn't have happened. And they would all say, however, this is highly unlikely because. Well, brother, it may be unlikely to them, but it happened to me. You can't talk a man out of something that happened to him. It happened. But every one of the commentaries, that's what we're up against. That's that religious spirit. That's what the church is teaching or not teaching, is that, well, we know the Bible says that, but in all likelihood, what it really meant was, and when you go down that rabbit trail, you're lost. It's done deal. So that's the most important thing, is recognizing where those blocking spirits are in your life, and you do that with that broken heart model. Find those gaps and start to close them, because you are training for the fight of your life, and the opponents are increasing. The demonic strength is improving. They're getting better and stronger, and you'd better be doing the same. I know our time's up, Shannon, but man, I've enjoyed getting to share this word with everyone out there. And you guys, reach out to me, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what's going on in your world. I keep up with several of you. I read everything you send. Nothing you send does not get read, and I answer them as I can. I've been covered up with this prison ministry thing. It's a big deal, and I'm kind of like Shannon. I'm a one-man show. I have to do it all. I have to do all this stuff, so please contact me. My email is rickteaches, RICKTEACHES at AOL.com, and you can get me by going to my website, heavenlywarriors.com, and please sign up to be a part of my Heavenly Warriors team. I send out some email stuff. I don't bombard you with a bunch of junk mail. When I send you something, it's Holy Spirit stuff, and it's important. I'm not trying to sell you anything. I don't do this for the money. If I did, I'd do something else, because it's not a money thing. But I appreciate it. Go ahead, Shannon.
How can someone support your ministry? Because to support ministries is very important that are involved in deliverance ministry. Now, your website, heavenlywarriors.com, what are some of the ways that people can partner with you, my friend?
The best way to do is, there is a PayPal link on my website. Now, since I've started, the prison ministry starts Wednesday, and it will be weekly, and it's ongoing. It will not stop. I am asking for supporters to partner with me, and I want to send them a really neat t-shirt that's got, well, you'll see it. It's on my website. But I would like for whoever the Lord is putting it on their heart to partner with me for that every month to send something. And I'd like to count them as my prayer partners in my prison ministry team. And the t-shirt's really cool because it's a conversation starter. You'll see what I'm talking about. When you see it, people will say, well, what's that? Tell me about that. That starts a conversation about Jesus. It's a good witnessing tool. In fact, I'm going to send you one, Shannon. Yeah, I'm picking them up tomorrow, so I'll get you one of those. But that's what we're doing. So go to the website and you can go to the prison ministry, and you'll see the way to support me on that thing. And I appreciate everything that you do. Man, there's a revival going on in the prison, Shannon. These people are hungry. The very stuff you can't find in a church. The atmosphere for miracles is not in most churches. It's in the prison. It's in prison. These people are desperate. And Holy Ghost is breaking out. I don't have time. I'm out of time now. But I'll tell you about, they've started a major letter writing campaign. You know, the last prison I was in, the ministry team kicked me out of it because I was moving in the Holy Ghost power. Well, now there's been a massive letter writing campaign from inside the prison. Apparently, they've written all these letters to the warden, wanting me to get back in there and bring that power back. It's a big thing, Shannon. I mean, we're up against every demon in hell going in there, but it's God's doing something. So if you guys feel like you're wanting to get behind this thing, I encourage you. We need all the help we can get. Let's partner up and do this. And God bless all of you.
You need some more letters. You send me the contact information for that prison. Yeah. We'll get about 1,000 people out there to write the warden.
Oh, my God. They may never let me back in.
You give the word, man. We'll do it.
Man, that's powerful, Shannon. That's powerful, brother. I appreciate you. Man, all the brothers and sisters out there and you and the work you do, it's just, it does not go unappreciated. I can tell you right now, you're a major blessing to me and a lot of other people, Shannon. God bless you and thank you for what you do, brother.
That was an awesome word you brought tonight, brother. And I want to encourage everybody to tune in every Monday right here with Pastor Rick Bell, heavenlywarriors.com. Also, get over to his website, support it, and check out the other broadcast he's got up there, and you'll be blessed in doing so. Rick, I love you, man, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Love you too, Shannon. Bye.